Well, good morning, Simpsonville Baptist Church. What a blessing it is for me to be here today to be able to bring the message. Thank you for the invitation and for the opportunity just to be together with you. My name is Steve Googe. I serve as the Associational Mission Strategist for the Shelby Baptist Association and been in that position for about 4.5 years. Just a little bit about my family. I will share that with you before I bring the message today. My wife and I moved here from North Carolina, where I also was serving as a director of missions. And we came here because we have children in the area and grandchildren in the area. Some of you grandparents can understand the joy of seeing those grandchildren grow up and to see them develop. And so we moved here about 7 years ago, not knowing exactly what the Lord wanted in our move. I semi-retired. But we moved here, and we've been able to enjoy watching 6 grandchildren grow up, participate in church activities and in athletic activities, and it's been just an absolute joy. My wife, Wanda, is here with us today. She's about halfway back on this side, and I just love to be seen with that woman because she just looks so young, and everywhere I go, people look at me, and they say, "How in the world did that old geezer get that young chick?" I just love that. If you haven't heard my name before, have never heard it before, it's Googe, G-O-U-G-E. Now, if you were reading a novel, that would be Gouge, but that's not a good name for a Baptist preacher. Here is Dr. Gouge, but you can perhaps remember it. You know, women used to wear a red substance on their cheeks that was called rouge. You remember that? Well, that's sort of Googe. And some people say, well, another way we can remember it is Scrooge. Don't remember it that way either. That's the reason why I ask most people just to call me Steve. Well, this morning my assignment is to share just a word with you about the Shelby Association, but mostly to preach. I want to say thank you to Richard Walker. What a wonderful presentation that he gave. Our association is so delighted to be a part of this movement called Kentucky Changers, and Richard did such a great job of it. I really got very well acquainted with Richard for 33 weeks in a row. Richard and Bob Perkins were up at our new office on 488 Frankfort Road remodeling our building. And it was in a mess. And Richard and Bob and some others came along and just did such a wonderful job. I hope you'll come by and visit your associational office. It's beautiful, and it's because of folks like Richard that it was possible, volunteering their time and their effort. And I couldn't believe that they would invest 33 weeks of their lives coming every day to help us. So Richard, thank you so much. A lot of things are taking place in the association. Some of you may know that we moved from Henry Clay Street to our new location, and we're able to be much more visible and do better work out of the building that we're in now. And also, we are in the midst of a merger with 2 other associations. The Henry Association and the Oldham Trimble Association have joined the Shelby Association. And actually, on March the 1st, those 2 associations will no longer exist, but they have been incorporated into the Shelby Association, and we're going to be adopting a new name. We'll be known as the North Central Baptist Network going forward. And it's an exciting time, but boy, it's a lot of work trying to get all of the details. But we'll go from having 30 churches to having over 60 churches. And our entire reason for doing that is to be, in a greater way, able to be on mission for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to help disciple men and women and young people, and to put the spotlight on our churches to help them do an even better job than they're doing today. So please keep the association in your prayers. Good things are happening. One thing that took place as a result of this merger of the 3 associations, during the time of the tornado, in 1 week, the 3 associations combining resources, were able to send $43,000 to Mayfield in that area and to help them with their rebuilding project. And there's a movement now for us to maybe go, not only having taken money there, but also to go and do a project in the area. So I thought it was rather remarkable that the three associations raised those funds. Well, I could go on and on, but I want to just go ahead and get into the Word of God. That's the reason I'm here today. And I understand that Pastor Steve preaches usually to about 15 after. No, that's not right, is it? Richard Walker left a few pages up here for me. I may read part of his stuff here in just a minute. Mark chapter 6. Would you open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark chapter 6? I understand you've been in Mark for a few weeks now, and I want to continue that process moving through this with you. The name of the message this morning is Bridge Over Troubled Waters. Some of you who are old, like me, may remember that there was a singing group by the name of Simon and Garfunkel that had a piece of music like this. I stole my title from them. And actually, I'm going to share some of the lyrics a little bit later on in the message today. But first, I want us to begin looking at this passage of Scripture, and I want to read it to you. I'll be reading from the NIV. In Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse number 45. Would you read along with me silently as I read out loud? Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him, and they were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them, and he said, "Take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. May God add his blessings to the reading and the hearing of his word. Now, I want to put the message in a little bit of context in the Gospel of Mark, and particularly I want to connect chapters 4, 5, and 6. Chapter 4 is also about a story of a calming of the Sea of Galilee, and it is a miracle, certainly. A second thing that I want to point out is that when we come to chapter 5, we see more miracles as Jesus is healing many people. And then we come to Mark chapter 6, and we are given the information about miracles that were performed there, the feeding of the 5,000, and then Jesus walking on the water. They're all miracles, and they are there to reinforce the message of Mark, and that is Jesus Christ is divine. He is the Messiah, and he is the one that individuals should trust for their eternal life. And so all of this just fits together beautifully. The miracles demonstrate the deity of Jesus. And now just a little background on Mark chapter 6. We see that Jesus has fed the 5,000 people. Now, this is not the only place that we read about this miracle. We see it in other places in the Scripture, and I'll refer to those in just a few moments. They're called parallel texts. But what we find is he fed the 5,000, and what did they want to do with Jesus? Well, they immediately saw the miracle, and they thought, we've got to make this man our king. We've got to elevate him and to inaugurate him and to place him in a position of leadership over us. And we read in John's Gospel, this is one of those parallel texts, we read these words, "When the people saw the sign that he had done," that is the feeding of the 5,000, "they said, 'This is indeed the prophet who has come to the world. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again from them into a mountain. So that gives you a little fuller glimpse of what was taking place. They wanted to make him the king. The disciples were on board on this. They jumped on the bandwagon because they would much rather seize the crown rather than the cross. They would much rather avoid the suffering and have the opportunity of seeing victory that very day. So Jesus, seeing that this was going on, that they wanted to inaugurate him as king, notice that the scripture says exactly what he did. He reached the point of saying to the disciples, "Get in the boat." And the disciples got in the boat. And he then dismissed the mob. He dismissed the crowd of people. And then we see that Jesus goes up to a mountain to pray. Now, he went up there to pray for his disciples. But while he was praying, a terrible storm blew up. Now, with all apologies to Rembrandt, if you are familiar with his Jesus on the Sea of Galilee or Jesus calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee, you will see all of these dark rain clouds and the rain coming down, but this was not a rain event, it was a wind event. If you've been to Israel, you will have the opportunity, or if you go there, you'll have the opportunity of seeing the Arbel Pass. And that's where this wind begins to whistle down onto the Sea of Galilee. And mothers will not allow their children to play on the Sea of Galilee in the afternoon because it is surprising what can happen. And it is unexpected. The wind will just begin to blow almost at tornado-like speeds. And so the disciples are in the boat and they're rowing, but they're not going anywhere. As a matter of fact, the scripture says in verse number 48, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. This word straining at the oars means that they were giving all of their effort. They were doing everything that they could to be able to try to move forward in this storm, but they were unable to do so. The wind was blowing in their face, and they were so absolutely fearful of what was happening. And then in the midst of that storm, Jesus, having prayed for his disciples, came down from the mountain, and he began to do something that is a miracle. He began to walk on the water. His sandals, well, they would have touched the Sea of Galilee, and the terrible waves were everywhere, but he was walking as if he was on a mission, and he was, and he walked to the boat. The disciples didn't recognize him immediately. And as a result of that, they became terrified. They thought, "This is a ghost coming to us." But Jesus kept coming, and they spoke to him. Another parallel passage says, and he got into the ship, and the seas became just as calm as they could ever be on a windless day. It's a great story. By the way, you might have read that last part, for they did not understand about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. What did that mean, their hearts were hardened? It meant that they just did not comprehend the importance of that miracle of the feeding of 5,000. But who would? We wouldn't understand that either. Now, we've looked at this passage in a little bit of detail, and now I want to share with you some encouragements. You see, this passage that we're investigating today is one that was inspired by the Holy Spirit to help us when we go through storms of life. We won't perhaps be on the Sea of Galilee when a storm blows in. But folks, you have storms that you're facing in your life, difficulties, troubles, problems. And those problems may be very difficult. Some of you may be going through problems today with your family, perhaps. Maybe a family member is using drugs of some kind, and it's difficult for you to go through that. Some of you may be going through financial problems or difficulties. For some of you, it may be a health issue. You may go into your doctor's office, and the sunshine is so bright, and there's not a cloud in the sky. And when you begin to talk to your doctor, you find out you have a malignancy in your body and it's going to require surgery. You come out of the doctor's office and, well, the sky is not clear and bright any longer, and the sun doesn't seem to be shining because you're under a terrible cloud, a terrible storm in your life. You see, we go through storms, and just as in the first century, this passage was communicated to the disciples to encourage them, this passage can also encourage us. And I would like for us to see four encouragements from this passage today. The first encouragement is this, encouragement number one. When you find yourself in a storm, learn to say this, God brought me here, or He brought me here. You see, if you're a Christian, you have confidence that God is with you every moment of every day, wherever you go. For the Lord won't leave you, He will not forsake you, the Scripture teaches us very clearly. He's always with you, even in the midst of a storm, even in the midst of a difficult time, He is there with you. He brought me here, you can say. And as a matter of fact, I'd like for us to just say that out loud. Say it loud enough so the person in front of you can hear you. I want you to say these four words. He brought me here. Would you do that with me? Here we go. One, two, three. He brought me here. You see, that's what a Christian needs to say in the middle of a storm. He brought me here. Now, there are two varieties of storms. One is correcting, and the other is protecting. A corrective storm is one that you get in because you have been disobedient to the Lord. And the Lord is correcting you in that difficulty that you're facing. We think of Jonah, for example, being one who was disobedient to God. God said, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. Perhaps those people will repent and turn to me. What did Jonah do? He went absolutely in the opposite direction. And he was swallowed by a great fish that God had prepared. He repented and decided that he would go to Nineveh, and there was a great revival that took place in that wicked city. Ladies and gentlemen, God sometimes sends storms on us to correct us. And if He has sent a correcting storm to you, allow Him to do His work in your life and come back to Him closer than ever before. But there's not just correcting storms, there are protecting storms. You see, the disciples needed protection. They needed needed to be removed from the sin that they possibly would have committed. And that's sometimes one of the reasons that God gives us storms in our lives. It's to protect us from sin or pride or arrogance. What about the disciples? They were getting ready to commit a tremendous sin, and that is to enthrone Jesus as the King of Kings on the earth. And Jesus said, after understanding what was going on in their minds, get in the boat. And if you'll notice the scripture, it doesn't say that Jesus was necessarily gentle about that. It says He made His disciples get into the boat. Jesus said, I'm protecting you guys. Get into the boat. And even though you're going to go into a storm, it's going to protect you from the sin that you are harboring in your heart of just enthroning me as an earthly king and not allowing me to go to the cross where I want to go for the needs of human beings and individuals on the earth. And so sometimes this can happen. The scripture teaches us that God uses even our storms to protect us and to help us as we move through life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, we also glorify in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. So if you're in a storm of some kind today, some kind of difficulty, some kind of trouble, it may be that God is protecting you from something terrible if you were not in that storm. And so I want you to realize that when indeed you come into a storm, you need to say, He brought me here. God brought me to this place. Well, there's a second encouragement that we can find from this passage. And that second encouragement is just simply this. When you find yourself in a storm, learn to say, God is preparing me for future ministry or my future life. He's preparing me for something that I don't see today, but something that is indeed likely to happen in the near future. So what we find here is that when growth occurs in a Christian's life, what God is doing is preparing us for the next stage of our life. And He may use that storm to do just that. We will maybe not understand the storm that we're in at the moment, but God is at work. The disciples would never feed 5,000 people again. So Jesus wasn't preparing them for future ministry of multiplying loaves and fishes and feeding a multitude of people. But He was preparing them with the principles that they had learned on the sea. For the disciples would have thought, feeding of the 5,000. There was a great lesson there, and that lesson was learned on the Sea of Galilee in that storm. Now, how did that teach them a lesson? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the disciples were right in the very center of God's will, because Jesus told them, go get in the boat. And here they were in this storm. And as they were in the storm, God directed them. God rescued them. What happened to the disciples later on as they ministered in the name of Jesus? Well, when they witnessed, and I'm not sure that you can be more in the will of God than when you're witnessing, sharing the good news of Jesus. I'm telling you, you're not out of the will of God when you're communicating that good news. But what happened to them? Some of them were arrested, thrown in jail. Some of them were not only thrown in prison, but some of them were executed. Some were beheaded. What lessons could these men draw from the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on the water? Well, it's just this. Just as Jesus was with us there when we were walking on the water, so Jesus is with us now when we're in jail because we preach the gospel of Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not a message just for them. It's a message for us today as well. Just as God has been with us in the past, just as we have seen His hand working in the past, it's an indication that He's going to be working in our lives today, and we can count on Him to do just that. And so we draw from our first experiences, God being with us, and we recognize that we can have confidence in Him when we need Him to walk with us. So when you're walking in a storm, you need to just encourage yourself by saying, He brought me here. And encourage yourself by saying, He's preparing me for future ministry or my future life. Encouragement number three that I want to point out. When you find yourself in a storm, learn to say, God will come to me. I'd like for you to say those four little words with me again out loud. Would you do that? Let's say it. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. God will come to me. And that's exactly what He did in this story that we have been looking at. The worst thing to happen in a story of suffering or difficulty or problem is that we have a tendency of thinking, I'm the only one going through this. I'm the only one having this surgery, or I'm the only one with this illness. And yet, many people have the same kinds of things that we're going through, but ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is with us, and He will come to us even in the midst of our troubles and our storms and our difficulties. You're not by yourself, because the Lord will come to you. The Bible says that Jesus walked to the disciples in that storm. And that's what He always does. He's always there with us. In Exodus chapter 40, we read the story of the children of Israel having been delivered from Egyptian slavery and captivity. And as they're moving forward toward the Red Sea, they notice that Pharaoh is behind them and he is chasing after them. And the Red Sea is in front of them. Pharaoh's army is behind them. I always kind of like to use the phrase, they were between the devil and the deep Red Sea. And so they were ready to move forward, going toward the promised land, but there's no way to go through. And besides that, there was a terrible wind that was whipping up. I can hear a little child, a little Hebrew child saying, Mama, Daddy, God promised he was going to deliver us. And I look behind and I see Pharaoh's army coming after us. And I look in front of us and I see the Red Sea. And then there's this terrible wind that's whipping. Where's God in all of this? And then they pitched their tents and they went to sleep. And the next morning, wind had blown all night. But when they awakened, Pharaoh's army had not overtaken them. And there was a path that went right through the Red Sea to take them to the other side. God had used that wind, part of that storm, to open up the Red Sea and to give them a dry path forward so that they could go into the next part of their journey. And that's what the Lord that's what the Lord does for us. He says, I will come to you. And he does come to us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 2 says this, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you're facing a storm today, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to recognize that when you find yourself in a storm, you need to say, God brought me here. When you find yourself in a storm, God's preparing me for my future ministry or my future life. And then I want you to say, God will come to me. Now, the very last encouragement that I want to share with you is this. When you find yourself in a storm, learn to say, God will see me through. Now, I want you to say that with me, those words, God will see me through. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to really say it like you mean it. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. God will see me through. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no one else that can help us in the midst of troubles and storms and difficulties. And he says that if you're my child, I'm going to look after you and I'm going to help you. Why? His reputation is at stake. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He started the disciples in the little boat and he saw them through. He got them to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And he did so with his strength and with his power. Now, what happened when they arrived on the other side? Well, again, the parallel passage is Matthew chapter 14, verse 33, and it says this, so those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. They'd gone through this terrible storm, and what did they do? They began to worship the living God who had delivered them, who had seen them through the problems. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we need to do. When we've gone through a storm, some of the sweetest moments of worship is when we have emerged on the other side and we begin to thank God and to praise Him for what He's done in our lives. And I just want to encourage you to be sure you do that. When I face a problem and there's no solution apparent, and God brings me through on the other side, I've had the sweetest times of worship, sweeter than any I can really recall during those moments. Ladies and gentlemen, He will sustain you, and He will be with you. Now, what about those lyrics from Simon and Garfunkel? Well, I want to read some of them. Those lyrics were not written from a Christian viewpoint, but they were written in a way that I think we can apply them that way. Listen to these words. When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I'll dry them all. I'm on your side. Oh, when times get rough and friends just can't be found, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. When you're down and out, when you're on the street, when everything falls so hard, I will comfort you. I will take your part. Oh, when darkness comes and pain is all around, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. And then the last verse. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will ease your mind. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will ease your mind. So much like Jesus, isn't it? He does wipe our tears. He does give us peace, even in the middle of the storm. He is with us. Maybe some of you that have a storm that you're going through right now. And I want to just encourage you at this moment to know that the Lord is with you, and He's always going to be with you. Learn to say these four little phrases that I mentioned to you today, and the Lord will take you through those. Just turn them over to Him. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation time. And folks, the kind of God that I want to serve is the kind of God that's going to walk me through storms, because I'm telling you, we're going to have storms. We're going to have difficulties. You're going to face problems. You are either, and I make this prediction, you're either coming out of a storm, you're in the midst of a storm, or you'll be going into a storm sometime soon. I want a God like this, a God that will provide for me even in the midst of the storm. And if you've never embraced Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to do that today. We're going to have our invitation, and I'll be here at the front to greet you if there's a commitment that you need to make publicly. Let's bow our heads, please, for prayer. Now, as a part of this invitation, while every head is bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to do a little exercise for me. Some of you need to turn loose of the storms that are in your life right now. Maybe you've gotten a little bit bitter because of the storm, or maybe there's a difficulty releasing that storm into the care of God. Well, I want you to visualize something for me right now. I want you just to open your hands. Again, your eyes are closed. Nobody's looking at you, but just open your hands and extend them out in front of you. I want you to take those storms that you're going through right now, and I want you just to visualize that they're in your hands. Now go ahead and close your hands up into a fist. Your storms are there inside your fists. Now, I want you just to spend a moment talking to the Lord and ask Him to take those storms and help you to place them on His wonderful shoulders. He said, "You can cast all of your cares on Me because I care for you." Now, I want you just to open your hands again and let those storms, those troubles, those difficulties just come out of your hands and land on the wonderful shoulders of the Lord Jesus. Be free of those storms and the worry that comes with it. And recognize that you are serving a God who is not only the God in the calm of life, but He's the God of the storms as well. Heavenly Father, we thank You for letting us look at Your Word today. We're so thankful to You, Lord, for the truth of what You communicate to us. And Lord, I pray that You might be with this precious congregation and bless them in every way. Now, if there's someone that needs to make a public response today, I pray that You'd give them the courage to say yes to the invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.